All right, here we are. We're here to talk about our good friend Nick Sewell, who is not here.
The Nickster.
And it has been a while since you've accompanied me on these introductions, Nick Flanagan.
And here I am, co-hosting.
Yet again.
Co-pilot.
Back in the saddle.
Back in the booth. Back in the six.
Are we going to talk about you right now? This is Nick Sewell's introduction.
Well, right then I really was just saying I was back in the city. And then I named different words for the city. So,
Nick Sewell, friend and band peer.
Yes. Colleague.
Tech expert.
I mean, we're probably not going to focus
this introduction's
too deeply
awesome
on
Nick.
His tech expertise. Although I have always been impressed by his knowledge of all things computer related, all things related to computer animation.
Makes amazing flyers. Yeah. He helped on my book cover. He's made our videos
He's
for us.
He's an incredibly
the past.
Skilled guy.
He's Let's an all around incredible alpha male.
And he's cool. Yeah. And he's relaxed. And he's, from
new
a
dad.
Toronto dynastic family, as well as that.
This is true. I don't know if we mentioned it the last time he was here. I'm sure we did, though. But if not, Nick's dad was the mayor of Toronto.
But he was like one of those mayors where
cool mayor.
Yeah, where people go, oh, I miss when this guy was the mayor.
Exactly.
Like, Toronto wouldn't have the sort of
reputation.
Granola feel it did. In the middle of this, in downtown, if it didn't, John Sewell and people like him.
Yeah, you're speaking about it in the past because it ain't like that anymore.
Well, there's, Kensington Market and these other places.
My father liked Nick's dad as mayor.
Yeah, so did my dad.
I think I mentioned it to my dad and he's like, oh my gosh, I loved him. He used to bike around and all this stuff. He started listing off.
Yeah, my dad liked Miller and also Sewell and not a ton of the other mayors because of what they were like.
The first time he came on was we were all at a house party together hanging out in the corner.
Right.
And I said, why don't we, this sounds like a podcast. Nick, why, come on down. So that's what we did. And then, I don't know, it's been a while since I've always wanted, for Nick, maybe there should be a reason, and the new Biblical album is about to be released, and it's getting a good buzz.
Oh.
So that's something to talk about with Nick. And so, that would be great. I mean, Nick's one of those guys you could just come
and
on.
Politics.
That's another rule, a loose rule. I stay away from the politics talk because, A, it's such a, it's a transitory subject. I mean, someone who's listening to an episode 2 years from now won't understand what the fuck we were going on about.
I think they will. I think that the term Trump will come to be known.
Yeah, but
many in
do we need that?
No, we don't.
I don't think so.
No, we don't.
And sadly, that pair, as I'm staring off into the distance on the table, forgot to be eaten here.
Yeah, this is one of those things where as soon as I said politics, all the fruit in the room wilted and withered.
Yeah. Well, listen, Nick Sewell, all around good guy. Usually I do a kind of a 1,200-word essay I've written on the guest, but isn't this better, the two of us just like talking about how cool a dude he is?
Just look up Biblical.
He
look
fucking
up the
rules.
Illuminati.
He's one of the best dudes I know.
Look up to Chort. Look up Chort,
right.
And then you'll get an
Sebastian
idea.
Sebastian Granger.
Yes, and, Nick's a fun guy to Google image search. You'll see a lot of pictures of him playing bass in his distinctive style.
He's a great front man of Biblical, and he strikes a good pose for photographers. Yeah. I don't know if this is the best introduction for a guest on the podcast or
think
just
it's
one of the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think it's either. I mean, the fact is we haven't done an intro together in a long time.
Yeah, we're pretty rusty. Should we start over?
I don't think so. I think that we did put 15 minutes into this one, so let's just live and die on this one and edit it as we see.
No, it's this guest rules.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Right?
We talk to him.
The Daniel Jones podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan is Nick's co-host. Hello for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes. Jimmy in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hey.
the Danko Jones Podcast. La da 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 da.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready because the Danko Jones Podcast starts. No!
We are starting. Nick Sewell is here.
Hello.
After that incredible introduction Flanagan and I did.
Yeah, we recorded a hell of an intro for you, bro.
So Nick is back. This is the second appearance for Nick Sewell.
Yeah. Although I thought you'd been in so much more because we've had so many conversations over the years that I just assumed... Oh, Nick's been in here four times.
When was the last time you were here? Like 2013?
Yeah, 2013.
Wow. Embarrassing, but you should be part of the brigade by now, but no.
I thought I was.
No, well, sadly, yeah, no. I thought you were too.
I mean, you haven't been here in a long time.
Yes, no, but Mr. Flanagan. I've been on enough episodes that I am the Black Coffee Brigade.
That's true. Well, the rule is you're on the podcast three times or more.
And then you're almost there.
Then you're part of the brigade.
Give it 5 years.
I've got a ways to go.
Well, 5 years and you'll have your wings, black wings.
Damn.
Well, yeah, I don't know why it wasn't sooner, but it makes sense. The last time you were here,
I had a record.
You had a record. You're back. You got a new record.
It's true.
It's called The City That Always Is Sleeping Today.
Yes, The City That Always Sleeps.
The City That Always Sleeps. And, you know, I got sneak previews of it when it was... freshly recorded. So
That's true.
I've been living with it for a while. It is an incredible record, but don't take my word for it. Last I saw, you retweeted Visions magazine in Germany.
Yeah.
That's heavy praise, man.
They were feeling it.
Yeah. We definitely wanted to take, you know, a page from your book, if I dare say.
Yeah.
And really look to Europe first. Last cycle, we really focused on the U.S. and it was cool, definitely. We feel like that's probably the best place for us as a band, given like what we're doing and what the musical cultural climate is these days for heavy rock
and the level of support.
Well, the touring. Helicopters
How
reunited
is it these days.
It's true.
Helicopters reunited last year.
Yeah,
and it was supposed to be a one-time thing. I think I don't know, but they got them to finally like get together. And
with Dragan?
Yeah, it's Dragan, Nikki,
Robert,
and Sammy Yaffa from Hanoi Rocks is on bass.
Right.
And Boba Fett on keyboards. So it's a mishmash of you know, Super Shitty meets High Visibility.
Yeah.
Of course, Strings passed away last year, which is sad. But it's recharged and reignited rock and roll for everybody.
Yeah, I'd love to check it out. My old band, the Illuminati, we did a U.S. tour with the Helicopters in 2006.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So I.
So were you on that documentary? Was Illuminati?
I don't think so.
They did that U.S. document. No, that was before. Yeah. Okay.
But you know, we got to know all those guys.
Yeah.
And. What was the name of the old bass player? The
dude Kenny.
Kenny. Yeah.
He is not returning to the lineup. Yeah. So Sammy Yaffa is taking, which is like
an
amazing.
We smoked him his first blunt ever.
Who, Kenny?
Kenny. He'd never smoked an actual blunt.
And oh, really?
Yeah, it was in the van in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Wow.
It's funny. I would think that, you know, European people always...
So he said at the time.
They mix tobacco with their marijuana. That's a famous thing about... And a blunt is not dissimilar.
It's not, but, you know, it's, I guess, a little counterintuitive that you would split it open and...
Right, yeah.
Well, is this a family podcast?
It is. But you
the
know.
Dirty family, the family,
but
the scumfuck family.
I've actually on that same tour. Speaking again of the Helicopters, the first night we played with them was in Dallas, Texas, and so we were just first day of the tour, getting to know them, and some super fans had shown up to the show. and had rented a limo, and were determined to show the bands a good time. And these are Helicopters fans, and obviously no one knew the fuck the Illuminati were. But they liked our show, and they're like, you come too. So nobody wanted to party except for me and Boba. And so we piled into this stretched limo, like the kind of thing that people would rent for a prom.
Right.
And they're so like, weird. We're going to this bar. We're like, okay, great. Well, where's that? It's like, well, it's actually a strip bar. Mm-hmm. And except that it turns out that in Dallas that strip bars aren't allowed to be within city limits.
Really?
And it turned out to be this like crazy prison limo ride where we were driving for like an hour outside of the thing. God. Like, and it was just like, I was like, we were looking at each other like,
with these Texan guys.
Who are these people?
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, because it's like, oh man, taking a limo to
like, we're going to a bar. Actually, we're going to a strip bar. Actually, it's like
going to another 40 town.
Miles. Yeah. And it was like, and then we got there and they couldn't get into that one. Oh, and it was like, no, we're going to go to another one. So we had been driving north and then for like, and then we drove east for like another, and it was just like this horrible thing. And then we ended up at a place, but there was a buffet, and Boba and I went to the buffet.
How was it?
No strippers?
There were there, but it was like, and then this is another bizarre thing that apparently if you want to go to a bar like that that serves booze, it's topless only.
Yeah.
But if you want to go to one where the women are fully naked, you have to go to one that doesn't serve booze, and you have to bring your own booze, which just is, the whole thing was insanely bizarre.
I know in
bizarre.
LA that's a similar, there's a similar situation where like there's all these topless go-go bars like and they actually can't even have like nipple visible, and that's like Jumbo's Clown Room, which is like a famous go-go bar there. And then if you want to go to a strip club, they have a door fee.
Yeah.
And they're like totally naked, and it's like kind of feels really fucked up.
Yeah. I'm not a patron by any means. It was just one of those things where they're like, come in this limo.
Yeah.
Like, first day of the tour, I'm going in a limo.
Oh, yeah, it was the first day of the tour. And, oh, my God. And, so you didn't really even know the Helicopters that well at that point.
No, we literally like got to the venue, did the sound check, kind of met them backstage. We played our set. They played their set. And like Nebula was on that tour, too. So it was kind of like, everybody's like, hey, how's it going?
Was there Nebula people on the ride?
No, it was just me and Boba.
Oh, so you guys were getting to know each other.
But it was like, anyway.
And midway through, you're like, I'm getting a blunt together. Whoever smoked a blunt?
But then I remember it was like, so we were like, then we had to endure that same ride all the way back to the venue.
Brutal.
And
that's brutal.
You know, and then from the venue, I had to figure out where the rest of my band was staying.
Yeah. Oh.
Which turned out to be, we had met this dude, Slim, who ran a merch company, and he had this place called like The Compound. Y'all can come stay at The Compound. And we're like, The Compound, we get there. It literally was a compound. Yeah. It was like a building in the middle of a fenced off area where they had a merch shop, and that's where we were staying.
Oh, yeah, but I mean,
it was cool. It was like, you know,
we played a funny show.
This is the life that chose us.
Dallas is one of those cities in Texas where like, I don't know what to make of it. It kind of has a feel like, you know, Ottawa, Canada in a weird way. Like it's like got that like stuffy capital vibe slightly, but then it also has this kind of other thing, like this Texan-ness.
But it's so sprawling. Sprawly and it's massive. It's massive. Like geographically, it's like.
But King Diamond lives in Dallas.
Are you serious?
Wow. Yeah.
But it must be dwarfed by like Houston.
I wouldn't have thought he'd be like a sun guy.
Yeah, neither did I. He lives in Dallas.
But Texas is one of those places that's like, I just think it's almost a country unto itself. Like it's like the California of the South, you know? Like it's so huge. People are like really nice there generally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
I've only been to Austin and Dallas, and I've had good
into Houston
good times
too.
There.
And then on top of that, it seems like they've got, you know, there's a lot of money kicking around there mm-hmm. too, and the barbecue of course is great.
But now you've got the album out on Teepee in the States.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Does that mean more American touring upcoming?
We hope to. We've got a couple of one-offs that are coming out. We were just in Chicago a few weeks back, and we're sort of like, it's so hyper competitive right now.
Yeah,
like
it's super.
We
tough.
Were submitted for like a couple tours that with, you know, some bands that we know who yeah. like us and stuff like that, and it's like,
and still you got to get in
the,
line.
The horse trading is just like so over the top. So, we're doing like we're gonna do like a one off in New York in October. And
for Teepee, where are they based out of?
They're in New York.
New York.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's cool.
So, that's cool. That'll yeah. be a good one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It hasn't announced yet, but it's going ahead. So, and I don't know. We'll probably do South by in the spring, but you know, we're just kind of like taking a wait and see, and again, just trying to like, you know, direct ourselves towards Europe, and that's actually where most of the pickups on the record have been happening. Like we got like Visions was into it.
That's good.
Dan Carter like spun us on his BBC One show. You know,
that's
so,
good.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, just like a couple blogs, like we're on the radar over there. So I think that, you know, the States is right there. We can go to it, you know, when we need to, even just if we're doing, you know, one-off shows through friends and stuff like that, rather than like a heavy duty tour.
It's an expensive undertaking to even do like one or two shows. I mean, the payoff yeah. is minimal,
right. Yeah.
but you got to kind of do it, especially because of Teepee now yeah. involved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's
a crazy situation.
People just think that it's so easy for you to just go wherever they are. It's, and if you don't go, they're offended. And it's nothing to do with...
No, it's you. Like so many logistics. Like, but even like we've noticed like a marked difference in even just like from a couple of years ago, like when we were on the monsoon cycle, like just trying to get stuff like just in that time, there's that many more bands and that many more records. And
this is a hard
the attention
time.
Is divided that much more.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just... talking to other people, like everybody's in the same boat,
like, and like industries haven't, the audiences haven't exactly grown necessarily.
No, they haven't. They've splintered.
But the amount of people trying to do stuff has grown. This is like throughout any creative art. I think this is the issue. In comedy, there's more.
It's the attention economy, right?
You know, in comic books, can you imagine what that's like trying to do that? But at least that's like. It's impossible. At least that's something where, you know, there's only so many, there's so much effort that goes into sort of printing one and making one.
Well, you'll
least,
be surprised how many it works. Same, going to Fan Expo this
year.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's like, how are you guys going to get to where you want to go?
Writing is a mess right now, like professionally, even like outside of like writing for TV, just being, imagine being like a journalist right now, like just being like, I'm trying to write. You have to go on Twitter and be like, you know, Daniel Dale or something, like live tweeting like every single thing.
Oh, it's tough.
Ugh. What a time to be alive, though.
But I mean, you know, metal tours, though, have always been
that, like, you know, that. Yeah.
It's like, dude,
strength in numbers.
We're first of six on the Napalm tour, you know, like
right.
It's like we go on before Doors.
You know? Yeah. Isn't that funny that like there's this one band that's basically almost in the position of like the CD that's being played like before the show starts, where it's like you walk in and they're just like, bah, 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 you know.
Like, I can remember playing in like. In the early to mid 90s, I can remember playing a couple of like MCA promoted shows where it's like you're allowed to start, like they'd throw you on a bill and you're allowed to start as doors open.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can have like a 20 minute set as people are coming
in.
Totally.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
People and then, don't know. Like, it's
but you got to really want to do it.
You got to really want to stick it out.
Even that opening slot before a big band. Can be really bad,
you know?
Like
it's terrible. Or the worst is when they put you after the headliner and you're closing.
That's more of like, I feel that's more of like a hardcore show thing I've seen.
No, that happens all the time in every At least,
does it really?
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Wasn't that the origin of the strife with what were they called? That band, the guy who famously punched Danzig.
Oh
yeah, Northside Kings.
Northside Kings, and it was something like that where
right,
like the headliner wanted to go.
Like Danzig wanted to go, and then Northside Kings get to play. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, are they a band?
I love how this always
comes back to Glenn.
Danzig getting punched all the time. I mean, you know, in LA, there's
we've had conversations.
The major thing is that people are chronicling every step of his home sale.
Yeah,
because that house has been
sold. Yeah, I know.
The photos on the inside are amazing.
I didn't look at those.
Collectibles everywhere.
Oh, cool.
It's been sold, right?
I don't think it's been sold yet.
It's on the market. 2 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
with Toronto real estate
selling for that much.
That's a steal, man.
Well, I'm only saying it's crazy that it's selling for that much because, like, I walk by that place all the time. You know, like it's like just in a little side, like a side street in Los Feliz between Vermont and Hillhurst. You know, like just it's in Los Feliz, and it's like it's not a mansion. You know, it's just a house.
Airbnb.
It's the Airbnb. Okay, guys.
That would be the smart.
The key is attached to this great huge.
He's going to take it off the market. Throw some paint on the walls, and
keep a little upside down cross.
I mean, check
into Horror Hotel.
Yeah, I would totally do that. Yeah.
Horror Hotel.
You can up the prices a little bit because of that.
I think one point, but I do think for that area because of the type of that area, it makes sense. He would be, and also like it's him selling it. Yeah, I could see it selling for that much, but that's a lot of money. I don't have that kind of dough.
No. Not a lot of people do. And but hey, so
I'm pushing for the Airbnb.
Yeah, $300
a
day.
I could stay there.
Yeah,
that would be pretty friggin' amazing.
Yeah, there's bats. Are there bats in there? Is Danzig a bat guy?
He's a cat guy, right? That's fairly well.
Cats
known.
And bats don't mix.
The whole picture of him buying the kitty litter is classic. All over the internet.
Yeah,
I still think about that. There's like that shopping list little YouTube thing.
Yeah, we talked about it the last time.
It's a perennial favorite. I can always go back to it.
What? Where he just says
he's like rutabaga, box of saltines.
I checked it out after Nick told me about it.
Can of saltines.
I mean, the guy who made it is genius. Whoever made that, like, isn't he just sitting around going, like, "I did that,"
and knows like. He knew all the parts. Like he like.
Yeah, no,
it's,
he's
it's like there's like,
definitely
there's,
a fan.
There's love in me put
absolutely.
Into that.
Well, that's just it. Is like I did. Do you follow Danzig memes on Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah. So, this is why I bring the guy who made that shopping list up. Yeah. Is I made two Danzig memes, and someone posted on there and took credit for it.
On yours.
On my memes that I made.
Oh, in the Danzig meme Facebook group.
Danzig memes on
Facebook. Someone literally went, "I made this meme."
Well, they credited the person who sent it in. Yeah. The guy didn't go, "Hey,
why didn't
I got
you
this.
Send it in?"
No, I'm not going to send it in.
There you go.
There you go.
That's but my it. Memes were positive Danzig memes. They
okay, well,
which ones, making fun
which
of
ones were they? Let me be the judge.
Say what you will, but you can't fuck with the first four Danzig albums.
Yeah, I'm surprised you include four in there. That's a controversial album.
It is, but you know, it's like with the lineup, I just want to
keep
it.
What's the fourth Danzig?
It's with the same lineup with John Christ and Ari Vaughn and Chuck Biscuits.
Yeah.
So I just, keep it together.
Is the mask on the liner notes?
but I would honestly put three on there as my weakest.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't.
I
really
feel
like
I've gone back to three quite a bit.
I've gone back since.
Is that the one? How the guy?
There's some vibe. There's some serious vibe on there.
There's some vibe on that. Yeah.
There is, but I don't know. I felt it wasn't as rocking as the
side
first
one.
Two.
I don't think you can fuck with side one of Danzig 3.
Yeah, is four Lucifuge?
Yes.
Is four Lucifuge? Is that the Lucifuge?
That's two.
That's two.
Come
two.
On. You know what? Do you want to stop? Can we?
We back that up. Back that thing.
But
up.
that's and then I did another meme and it escapes me right now. But that was the one I remember and it was on Danzig memes. And I mean, think about it when you're like looking at something that you made online.
Yeah.
And it comes up and it's not credited to you. The shopping list guy, who's that guy? I want to know who that guy is. Doesn't he want people to know who he is?
Here's a theory. What if it was Glenn?
I mean, then it could be. Because of the whole Portlandia appearance. from a couple years back.
You know, you're like, okay, maybe, you
made
know.
Me rethink.
Yeah.
Yeah, how oh, he yeah. was.
I heard an L.A. story that there was like a birthday party for Fred Armisen, and it was at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and Danzig was in the audience, which was just funny because he got like different comedians to perform, and it's funny picturing like certain comedians performing it for like Glenn Danzig. Although I'm sure he's watched comedy.
Well, have you followed, I can't remember the Instagram handle, but it has something to do with Danzig and the Misfits. It's on Instagram.
I don't know.
It's whoever runs that posts pictures of Danzig backstage with meet and greets.
Oh yeah.
And Danzig's always pictured with kids. Like people bring their kids to the show and then meet and greet, and he's all totally cool and down with taking he photos seems, with the kids.
Yeah, well, that yeah. makes sense.
I mean,
it's
I
so cool.
We saw him in Allentown.
It just makes me like him even more.
In like Allentown like 14 years ago or something, and he was watching wrestling in the tour bus.
Cool. Again,
and
I love it.
And then opened up the door, and we just, you know, like he was taking pictures with people in Allentown, you know, and it's like, that's great. That's, I mean, it's not just great. It's like totally what you have to do, probably, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't do it all the time. I mean,
I remember you saying you had an opportunity to meet him
in Philadelphia,
and you turned it down. You're
oh,
like,
that was in Columbus. Yeah,
you're I turned like, it down. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to break the mystique. Yeah. You know?
But it was a good thing that I did, because I've heard stories where he's just not into meeting guys and bands too much.
I almost
fans, yes, but not guys and bands.
I almost met him. There was like a Danzig Legacy show in 2013 here in Toronto, and I almost met him. I was like, and I really wanted to, because it was like when we were doing, we had the tune on the last record with Married Man that goes into Comeback by the Misfits, and I wanted
Which
to just
awesome.
Like,
yeah.
It was kind of like a, you know, like a ulterior motives were that I kind of needed clearance because it was a medley. It was like I couldn't just like pay for the publishing. I was like, because we were technically altering the work by couching it into this other kind of song.
Oh,
I was like, if I could just meet him for 5 minutes, I could like record it on my cell phone and say, yeah, that's cool. Like, see, it's on the record.
There's a Misfits show coming to L.A.
Yeah,
and the original.
Man. Yeah, but it's really, it's like $200 ticket.
Are you serious?
Something crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What's the venue?
It must be like a stadium.
Now, isn't original meaning Jerry Doyle and Glenn?
Yeah.
Who's on drums?
Dave
Lombardo on drums.
I fully support
and
that.
And A.C. Slade on second guitar.
Dave Lombardo on drums, that's going to be some good stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. He's not going to throw in Slayer beats on a Misfits
song. No, I know.
No, but it's
know.
Like you want
it'll
it to
be solid.
That's you want it to be solid. You want it to swing.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's Lombardo and not Johnny Kelly, who does most of the Danzig stuff. But he swaps guys. He's got a stable of guys who kind of have that look.
It also might have just been, you know, Lombardo. It's that much more cachet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But,
could be.
I mean, that show is going to be great, but that show is also going to be, like, a lot to take in terms of the people there. I mean, it's going to be for people really, like, seeing the Beatles, basically. I know it sounds crazy.
No,
they've done
true.
It already, though. They've done it already.
The Riot Fest shows, yeah.
Riot
yeah,
Fest.
They
yeah,
did Riot Fest.
They did do that.
I'm, like, waiting for the Toronto show.
Look, would you throw down $200 Toronto Misfits?
In heartbeat.
I mean, I might have just
Fuck,
pulled
I
that
almost
price
too,
out of my ass.
You know...
Fuck.
I would,
yeah,
I can go out on a Friday night and spend $100 and not really, and just be like, you know, between cab fare and like cover at a show, and then you know, I mean, like,
you
I spent $80. I'm like, you know, to do something that I really want to see.
Yeah,
I would do it.
Yeah, I mean,
you're keeping up with.
I'd just be like
inflation. My head's still back in like $20 was a lot of money.
Right.
When I throw down $20, I'm like, that was fucking.
I mean, I was thinking this. I had the saddest thought today where I was like, okay, so like if I was only spending $20 a day, that would be $140 a week. That's
Los Feliz on $20 a day.
Los Feliz on $20 a day. $480 a month. Oh, that's too much. You know, like it's like, oh, that ended up. That's like too much money. Yeah. I got to spend $10 out a day.
Well, you know.
Well, I mean, this thing is not going to last for very long.
Or it might be something they go back to because it's like an ATM. you know, like in 5 years, we'll be like, you know, could use another 500K.
I mean, you always see that. I mean, that's like helicopters reuniting. I mean,
diminishing returns, man, if this goes on for 10 years.
But diminishing returns to the extent of like the Misfits are playing, you know, like a, it'll never go under like a 2,000 seat venue, probably. Maybe 1,000.
I don't, the Misfits?
That's the thing. I was like, what size of, what are the venue caps on those shows? Like,
I mean,
where would they play in Toronto if they were to bring this reunion tour?
Oh, that's a great question.
The Queen Elizabeth Building?
Yeah, that's like, well, I mean, so Danforth Music Hall.
No,
that's too small.
That's
man.
Too small. Too small. If they did that, they'd have to do like 3 shows.
Yeah,
which they
now would you throw down $600?
They wouldn't do
or
it.
Or 400.
It wouldn't be a $600 ticket.
What about Massey Hall?
I don't know.
That venue size right. is good. Yeah. It's like 3,000.
Pretty intimate,
but it's a seat. It's a soft seater. It's
yeah,
not
yeah
right. that's they would want to. They would want to do. They would want to do a general.
What
yeah.
about Opra House?
Probably,
oh no
probably
way!
Maybe 2 nights at Rebel. That's like 2,500.
Where's Rebel?
Where's Rebel?
The Sound Academy.
Oh yeah, what it's Sound Academy.
Yeah.
Sound Academy is where they would probably play.
Yeah. But
yeah.
do two nights.
Two nights. Yeah. That's pretty. That sounds. Reasonable. Yeah.
So let's say 5 years from now, where are they then? El Mocambo, you know, or Sutton?
Yeah, I mean, I would love. I would probably go too.
I'd go.
Yeah, just to see like Doyle. Jesus, look at that guy.
What song are you?
That guy looks
out
like a workout
them?
Video though.
He's amazing.
I liked him when he was like skinny and I don't know
what
junky looking.
21.
Are they gonna do any of the post Danzig? Stuff
no they don't do that right no, for Misfit
no.
stuff
and no one wants to hear it
I
no one wants to hear it you want to hear it
yeah of course
really
what post
the post Danzig Misfits Misfit stuff
oh
released.
I'm sorry no yeah. no I don't want to hear that no I don't want to hear that no and I don't think Glenn would want to sing what Michael
yeah no. can you sing these
Michael Graves
wouldn't that be the best if that was like the stipulation the guys had in it's like we're really trying to maximize our money making so we want the shit we wrote without you that you don't yeah. have anything to do with yeah.
imagine he did that though that would be
amazing
that would be amazing.
What, they like snuck it in. They're like, yeah. "Hey, I wrote this one last night. I don't know. You want to give it a try?" Like, this is on American Psycho. Like,
I still think it was weird.
Everybody would be like, "What is this one?"
When the Stooges,
did you have this?
When the Stooges would do reunion shows, and then like they'd do like Skull Ring or something at the end, and you'd be like, "I don't want."
But that's
that.
Still all of them on there, right?
Yeah.
So if they do a new Misfits album and then do one or two songs.
Oh, that's the way they
can
keep it evergreen.
That's, to me, that's a more frightening proposition as if
a new Misfits album?
Yeah.
I think that's a really dicey proposition.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't really. It's gone too far.
It'll be too metal.
We played with the Misfits when it was Des Cadena and Robo.
How were they?
And Jerry.
And it was a three-piece. Yeah.
And?
Yeah. It wasn't Robo. It was someone else.
Chuck
was in Murphy's Law.
Dr. Chud.
Oh,
he's bald and
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was interesting because we get to the venue, and Des Cadena is already in full makeup, and I didn't know he wore makeup for the Misfits. And I walk by him, and we go into our dressing room. And I just start howling, and then someone goes, "That was Des Cadena." I'm like, "Are you fucking serious?" Yeah. So I went back, and I'm like, "Hey, man." But he had the makeup on. It was just a little. I didn't know that. Who made him do that? Like, why would he
Jerry.
Do that? Why would you? You don't need that for that band.
Well, not for that
no,
guy.
No, but
if Des Cadena is singing and Misfits, just like, okay, I just want this guy to like be the singer in this band. I don't give a fuck if he's doing.
No. But you know, like purists. I mean, purists. Like,
right. Well, now we're getting into something that shouldn't even exist, right?
But
you I'm
know,
a Misfits
like,
purist.
Jerry's definitely going to wear the makeup.
But Jerry doesn't have a lot to wear. Like, he was wearing some serious Ultimate Warrior shit. Like, there's a lot of stuff in
there. He's got to have his own look.
He was really... I guess he loved the...
He's got to have his own look.
It was interesting to me. I didn't... I felt like going, you don't need to do this, guy. You know? But anyways. Yeah, so we kind of have played with the Misfits in a way. Or Jerry. And Jerry was fucking cool, man.
I'm sure. Really nice guy.
Like, kind of like a family kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah.
Well, it really has taken on, you know, the all these like wrestling connections. Like it really has kind of gone that way. Mm-hmm. You know, like the muscles.
They're all very muscular. All
very fit.
Yeah, it's going to be so funny to see them on stage. Did you see pictures of the Riot Fest shows?
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube. Video, yeah. It was great, man. And like Glenn and Jerry were getting along really well.
Setlist was good.
Yeah.
Do you have any really songs that will make you very happy if you hear them? Skulls is the one everybody seems to be excited about.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know.
I like a deeper cut.
You want a little Cough Cool?
Oh, that's the deepest of cuts.
You want Return of the Fly?
Yeah, I'll take that. I'd take Hollywood Babylon.
But yeah, that's a good one.
I was always a really big fan of Legacy of Brutality.
Yeah, sure.
The first it was later re-released as Static Age, but it had a couple tunes that weren't on Static Age, like American Nightmare.
Yeah,
and that's a great Who Killed one. Marilyn? Uh-huh. And I also just liked that sequencing.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like...
I love American Nightmare.
And I love that era of the Misfits. It's kind of before the full-on horror. Mm-hmm. And they were just kind of like a weird, like, 70s, like, New York area band.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Before they had this, like... I mean, I love Walk Among Us in that era, too. But it's like, I really like that era before when they were sort of...
Yeah. No, I love that album.
I like how that record... I know, you know, the what's the one with... Is it... Die Die My Darling was the name of the record.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Earth AD.
Earth AD. That's the one that sounds like the like Dwarves, right? Kind of a little bit. Yeah. Like early.
Did you
like,
say the Dwarves?
Yeah, to me, I hear
Wouldn't it be how the Dwarves sound like?
Yes, exactly. The one that made the Dwarves not be the psych. Like, this, they were Dwarves were like psychedelic for their first record. And then after that, to me, it sounds like Earth AD. Yeah, they had a different singer, and they were like
I didn't know
psyche
that.
Band. They weren't.
What album is that by the Dwarves?
Oh, what's it called? It's a comp. I don't remember.
It's like pre-Blag.
Yeah, pre-Blag.
Is this so? Who was in that? Who was in the band? It's like Saltpeter and
I think he cannot be named. I think it was like I think Blag might have even had a role in the band at that time, but not been singing.
So what's the first album with Blag Dahlia on it?
Well, it would be
7 inches.
This is the Free Cocaine, all that stuff that was released as like a comp eventually.
But like first like LP, like,
Blood Got Some Pussy.
Was that the first LP?
Wasn't it?
I guess so.
With
yeah.
him, like a first LP with him as singer.
Blood Got Some Pussy and Sugar Fix and
no, it was Thank Heavens for Little Girls was between those two.
Yeah, and then the first one with Blag was released as a comp, and I think it's a compilation of 7 inches, and it's got like the sort of Skull and Bones on the cover.
But Blag's already on Blood, Guts, and Pussy, right?
Yeah. And that's to me the one that sounds the most like Earth AD.
Mm. Yeah, style it's like Misfits. Freak out, hardcore.
Yeah, 1 minute songs, you know, but with like a kind of like swagger thing that doesn't quite make it hardcore, you know, that kind of makes it more like barrage rock as Dan Burke
callback.
Well, that's a good one, man.
Barrage rock. Did Brutal Knights play with the Dwarves?
Yes. We opened up for the Dwarves in London, Ontario.
That's it? That's the only time?
I believe so. Allison from Teen Court Combo is friends with Blag, but, and you know, they were, my first band was like so influenced by the Dwarves, like, you know, we did like a Dwarves cover set, if you guys remember.
I do.
And but we never played
Teen Crud Combo did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. When we were like sort of like starting to switch styles or something. But yeah, Brutal Knights opened up for the Dwarves just once. And it was like, it's such an awkward crowd for a fucking Dwarves show.
Yeah.
Dwarves show. You know, like.
Why? Because you get those like asshole punks.
Yeah, you get guys who like have literally never been to a show before, and they only like the Dwarves, and they're like, "I'm just supposed to punch people, because this is the Dwarves."
Yeah,
and then and that's all, and that's almost all the types of people. That's like the only kind of person that's at the show. And I also saw them at the Horseshoe a few years ago.
I've actually never seen the Dwarves.
No, neither have I.
Which is kind of surprising because I love those first three Dwarves LPs.
Yeah,
I mean, even The Dwarves Are Young and Good Looking has some stuff I like on it too.
Yeah, I think it's just that, you know, they weren't touring Canada very much at all. And
they did in the 90s.
In the 90s they were, and it was like you'd see them and they'd be opening for like
Flipper, they did that Flipper show.
Nirvana, right?
Was that at the Edgewater, right?
Yeah. Was it the Edgewater or the Drake? Might have been the Drake.
Oh, it could have been the Drake, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
It was the Drake. Yeah. Because I remember when the Drake was so far away from me, and then they moved it even further to the Edgewater, right?
Yeah.
That was like 92. Didn't they piss in a bucket and throw it on the audience? Or is that part of the mythology of that show?
I met Blag Dahlia at the bottom of the hill in San Francisco.
Oh yeah, I know that club well.
Classic venue.
Classic. I was in my old band Chort, so this is like maybe 1999 or 2000.
Pre-Illuminati.
Long time ago. Way back. But we had gone down there because we were trying to get signed to Man's Ruin at the time. And we went to see Drunk Horse. They were playing at the bottom of the hill. And
awesome band.
Really awesome band. And actually, side plug, Eli and Joel from Drunk Horse have an incredible new band called the Once and Future Band, which is like proggy yacht rock. And they're probably my favorite current band of the moment.
Wow. So I'm going to listen to that band.
Check them out.
Yeah.
Al's super tight with them.
So. Yeah, I know Cyrus.
Cyrus isn't in the band. Cyrus actually has a band called Smokers, which is like a wiper-style punk band, which is incredible, too.
Wow.
Bay Area, man. Anyway, so I got introduced to Blag at the beginning of the night, and he was like the nicest dude, like super cool. Mm-hmm. We had brought a bunch of Chort vinyl down for the Drunk Horse guys and for our meeting at Man's Ruin. And then at the end of the night, I ran into Blag again, and he was super wasted. And he looked at me and said, like, "This is your record," and yanked it out of my hand, snapped it in two over his knee, and threw it, like, in the seats.
Now, did you laugh at this? Or, like, what is your reaction at this point?
I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what, like, he obviously did it for a reaction, and I kind of instinctively didn't react. I was kind of like, you know, but I wanted to
People
cry.
People don't do that in Canada. Canada, man. So, of course that's a Blag Dahlia
story. I was like, okay, everything is just the way it's supposed to be.
Bring it back to biblical here, because
That old canard.
But when is it released?
It comes out on Friday, September 15th.
Awesome. So it's already out. When I'm gonna post this, it's already out.
It's already out.
And why did you call it what you called it?
Well, we were driving back from New York one time playing a show, and it was just something Matt said in the van that stuck with me, and he's just like, "Up, back to the city that always sleeps," because we're leaving New York, like hardy. Yeah. And then,
so the city that always sleeps is Toronto.
It is. But it's also like, you know, in terms of sort of the vibe of the record, I was like, I also like that as a sort of stand-in for, like, you know, the necropolis. Like, that's why the cover looks like a graveyard. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's also the city that always sleeps, and it's also the, you know, it's all the baggage we lug around, you know, it's all the ghosts we're carrying too. Right. So it just seemed like a good, you know, once there was like a couple of like connections that sort of rung true, I was like, oh, it's actually a pretty cool name. A
couple of deep points you can make there. Yeah,
it's
great.
But it's a dig on Toronto for sure.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, I'm from here.
That's the spirit.
Dig on it.
If you're from here, you can say the bad things. If you're not from here, you owe us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, biblical, or I mean, if anybody knows, I've always plugged you guys and anything, and it's great to see that. Yeah, because I've been asking you to come on the podcast, but also, like, when's the album out so we can, you know, plug it? And that's been going on for a while, right? Like, you had this in the can for a while.
We had it in the can for a year, and then
but you were supposed to be on a year ago.
Sorry?
You were supposed to be on this podcast a year ago then.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's like we had it in the can, and then, you know, it takes that's what it, you know, it takes some time to get organized of like how we're going to do it. So it's like, you know, we had it recorded, and you know, recording always takes a while for us because we like to like do stuff and then sort of sit back and see how it's working. And certainly there are a number of songs on the record that are quite a bit different than we originally, you know, something was supposed to be like this, and then we're like, oh no, this song really wants to be this totally different thing. And I like being able to do that, you know, and then sort of sit back and go like, okay, the whole thing makes sense as like a whole piece.
Right.
So, you know, when, by the time we got it finished and got it mastered, and then we're like, okay, well, what are we going to do with this? And then so, we, you know, it takes time to like chase down those things, especially, you know, we wanted, you know, we wanted a partner to help us with international stuff. So we had to get that all set up.
Yeah, and that takes a bit of time.
Yeah, and then it was going to come out this past spring, but then my wife and I got pregnant, and it was like, well, maybe we should move that release back. So it's like I'm not putting out a record right when my son is being born.
Right.
So,
although that's a great montage.
Yeah, no, it's cross-cut back and forth. Yeah. And so it just kind of worked out like that. But it was good because it sort of it allowed us to really get sort of our pieces on the board where they needed to be, and you know, a chance to like make, I think I've made more, I do all the design for the band and stuff, so I think I've like, it gave me a chance to just make all the assets, you know, all these like ancillary pieces that you need, like an Instagram mat, you know, a poster, a thing like this, it's like video assets, a track premiere, whatchamacallit, you know, there's so much stuff to make.
Yeah,
you know. And I'm not someone who will offload that to somebody else because I don't trust anybody.
Right. And so, you can do it. And
yeah, do no, it I can well do it. On, and, yeah. And doing it is actually, it's part of it, you know, for me. I'm like, you know, I want everything to be just so.
Right.
Having that extra time was good. It was good.
Now that it's finally coming out and it's a year old, does it even feel like a release to you? Like a lot of, you know, how quick the music industry is when it's out, it's like, wow, we just finished this thing. But you were able to sit on it for a while. Are you already readying? Are you halfway through writing the next record? Like, are you already thinking that?
Not really. Like I said, I've had so much other life stuff sort of like going on, and happy to give my attention to it. And you know, it usually takes us a couple of years between records. You know, because like, I don't know, just the vibe we're going for. We try to go for a little like, I don't know. I'm not very good at writing songs. I can only write records. It's like everything has to be like, okay, well, this song leads to this, and then we get how do we get to this? How are we going to finish that part before we go? You know, so I'm writing individual songs is not this band. It's just.
But you have a video and a single for it, right?
Yeah.
That'll and it's already done.
It's done. Right?
It's already been in the can.
So what's that going to be?
That's out already. That came out in July. It's the first song from the record called Mature Themes. It's on our YouTube channel. It's pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting video. For people who don't know Canada and our wonderful grant system, one of the ways that bands can get videos made is through some of the broadcasters, and it's called Much Fact, but they actually just canceled that.
Right.
It's like it's gone. So we had to come up with an idea for a video. Fortunately, I remembered this short film that a friend of mine, Jacob Blackstock, had made 20 years ago that starred me as a scientist who goes crazy and kills his colleague, who happens to be him. He played the colleague. And I was like, he has this video. I bet you I could turn that into a like a biblical video, and it'll have this weird time travel element because it's me. Like,
that's cool. Yeah. I remember and that now. Yeah.
So I like cobbled that into something, and it turned out it was cool. I was like, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. We never would have done that. You know, if we'd just made some kind of video, we never would have done that. So, you know, it's home to orphans, this band. Orphan projects.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, I remember that. Little did you know, 20 years ago, you were actually starring in a future video.
So crazy.
New album drops, well, is already out. Check it out, The City That Always Sleeps on TP Records and New Damage in Canada, TP in America. Is that the way to end? What else am I missing here?
Illuminati.com.
Oh, man. Someone tried to sell me that domain back in the day for $1,000.
You probably should have bought it. Yeah, that would be. Although now it'd be like, I don't know if the people who are looking for Illuminati.com are like, have $1,000.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know what? They didn't in 2005 either.
All right, Nick. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.